So many people, doesn't it?
Hello. Sorry. Hello. I have literally walked through the door, and it was 10:03 as I got out of my car. I must have been dawdling and daydreaming because I was listening to a podcast on the way home, and I got so absorbed that I've arrived home to an empty home. My lovely family seem to be elsewhere right now, and I sat down and opened up Audio Hijack and pressed run. So I don't even know if I would say I'm running on the right thing. And then I dropped my volume, so my apologies for that fuzz. Doesn't that make you crazy? Well, I'm going to pick up my bearings from where I am, and I am going to open Termius because I want to see what's going on in the land of Com, which is SDF land, and I will go into Swerage, which is, I think, a faster server, generally speaking. So let me get some ground here. Let me get some ground and take off from where I left last week. So just to recap, apologies for a bit of feedback there. I literally drove in to the driveway at 10:03, realized I was late, and pressed record. So I shall open up this baby, and I shall go to this list, and it started off already, so I shall keep going. This song is actually, I do want to start off where I left off last week. So forgive me for being insistent on that, but here goes with the rest of the show.
Another party's over, I'm left cold sober. My baby left me for somebody new. I don't want to talk about it, want to forget about it, want to be intoxicated with that special brew. So come and get me, let me get in that sinking feeling that says my heart is on an all-time low. So don't expect me and overcast. Don't try and stop me, 'cause I'm heading for that stormy weather soon. I'm causing a mild sensation with this new occupation. I'm permanently glued to this extraordinary mood, so now move over. Let me take over with my melancholy blues. Now. soldier, come into my enclosure and meet my melancholy blues.
I got some news here, at least from Com. Let's just go into that again and peep, because I'm hearing word that things are all mixed up. So yeah, look, again, apologies. Quentin, good to see you here. Gemlog, hello. Buns, I really like the name Buns. I actually like it so much that I might call myself Rolls. So thank you for that, Buns. It's a very nice, yeah, I like it. James P, how are you? Yes, James P, this was Queen for a short time. That song is what we ended with the last show. And there were about 15 seconds of that. And I just wanted to play it out because it is a really interesting melody and theme. And it's about a chap who's at a party and his girlfriend runs off with someone else. And he's left there with his melancholy blues and the party. I can imagine the music playing, and yeah, it's a meaningful song. I liked it. And let's pretend for a moment that we're on our island, and which we are. And something like that happened. And I think that's the theme for the rest of the show. And then I've got some topical conversations. So where was I up to? Screwtape, how are you, friend? How's it over there in New Zealand? LCD. And Supernova, greetings, friends. So yeah, what I'm gonna do is play something else. And this one is what it might be like on an island if after being jilted and left alone, what it would be like and what you'd kinda like be doing. So without further ado, I selected this last night, and it's by Captain Beefheart. I shall say no more, except it's by Captain Beefheart.
I got too much time. Too much time. I got too much time to be without love. Too much time. I got too much time. I got too much time. Too much time to be without love. In my life I got a deep devotion, wide as the sky, the ocean. Every wall that's waved make me cry. Every bird that goes by gets me high. Sometime when it's late and I'm a little hungry, I heat up some old stale beans, open up a can of sardines, eat crackers and dream about somebody to cook for me.
Too much time.
Too much time. Too much time.
Too much time.
Too much
time.
Too much time to be without love. In my life I got a deep devotion, wide as the sky, deep as the ocean.
cry. Every bird that goes by gets me high. Too much time. Too much time.
Too much time.
Too much. Too much time.
Too much time.
To be with our love.
Too much time.
Too much time.
Isn't that a nice problem to have? Too much time. Hey, these days, who's got time? Ain't nobody got time for that. Was a popular saying a while back. And this morning, I woke up at about 3 o'clock and listened to a podcast and a radio show. And then had a coffee and wandered off to the ocean and had a park run. 7 o'clock, sharp start, just drizzling and raining, and it was a very, very nice run. And got back and hopped onto Calm and had a chat with the lads there and the laddesses, all the youngsters. I actually logged off Calm. I'm going to try and log on again and see if I can. Here I go, except this time I'm coming through SDF. And it says my certificates are blah, 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 blah. Nope, I'll have to go back to Swerage. Anyway, I found Stoke Source's car. He'd left his phone in there. He's really good that way. He leaves his phone and goes out and enjoys life without a phone, which is a very noble thing for young kids to do these days. So I searched all over and I guessed, I found them at one of the headlands and I found all the surfers and I knew he had to be there. So the first cluster, there were about 12 surfers and they're all competing for waves, and I figured, nah, Stoke Source would move to the side, and I saw these other two surfers, these two loan sharks out on the side, and I thought that could be them. And it wasn't, as best I could tell, so I gazed further to the left and there were another two or three surfers, and I figured, well, that's where he is. But I was too lazy to go out there, so I headed off to the cafe and had myself all the talk earlier in Com about samosas and rotties and things. I went to this shop and had a bacon and egg burger and a coffee. It was delicious. And I think that took longer than it should have. So I got here late. But, so we kind of like, we've been out, girlfriend's run away, and we're on our island with too much time, but too much time to be alone. And we're thinking back, and this is what we're thinking.
That's no lie.
Love her, but it's all over now. And that is an interesting song. Many songs are interesting, you know, if you take the time to look at them and think about them. But the reason I like that song is I first heard it by the Rolling Stones. So this was done by the Valentinos, and I suppose it's a I don't know who the first people were to sing it, but it was a nice addition. And talking of the ocean, talking about the sea, there are 8,126 beaches, I think, in Australia. That's a lot of beach. It's an interesting way to live your life on the beach, and not that I try and do the weekends, but that's when I'm not on radio or in the SDF community. I don't really have any other communities because apart from church, but I'm talking social, tech networks, you know, a digital social sort of thing, you know, like Twitter or Facebook or whatever. So this is it for me as a community, I think. The SDF community, and it's a very, 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 very nice community. Once more, Supernova, James P. James P, by the way, I quite like your Mastodon feed. It's interesting. And let me go and see if Buns has something, and Quentin. Mastodon, and so James P is jamesp@social.sdf.org, and Buns, hey, there is a Buns there. Could this be the Buns at Mastodon? I'm gonna hazard yes, actually, because Screwtape's on there too, so I'm gonna follow that. There we are, Buns, one more follower. One very please. What is Molly White? What are these? Hello. Okay, come on, let's keep going. We ain't got no time for to waste time. Not that being on Mastodon is a waste of time. I nothing to do with that at all. I'm just saying, let's get back to the music. So let's press this button.
Mother, Mother Ocean, well, I have heard you call. I've wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. Cause you've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watch the man who rode you switch from sails to steam, and in your belly you hold the treasures a few have ever seen, most of them dreams, most of them dreams. Yes, I am a pirate, a few hundred years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an under 40 victim of fate, arriving too late, arriving too late. I've done a bit of smuggling, I've run my share of weed. I made enough money to buy Miami, and I pissed it away so fast. It's never meant to last. It's never meant to last. Been drunk now for over 2 weeks. I've passed out and I've rallied and I've sprung a few leaks. I've gotta stop wishing, I've gotta go fishing down to rock bottom again. Just a few friends, just a few friends, just a few friends. Just a few friends.
It's like Doc always.
Hey, that song made me think back to a while back. Oh, it's about 4 years ago now. I bought 3 tickets to Jack Johnson down at Sydney, at the Opera House, and my second daughter and Julian, aka Stoke Sauce, and I drove down in my Nissan Patrol, and we slept on a couple of beaches on the way down. It was really nice, and and we got down to a campsite just outside Sydney, and well, inside Sydney, but we undid our swags and set up camp, and then we hopped into the tube, the underground, and we scuttled off to the Opera House, and we joined the queue, and we were like, I think we were the third or fourth people there, and we only got there in the nick of time, and so many people started turning up, and the queue just got longer and longer and longer. And of course, you need to go for a schwaz. So we'd take turns to duck off to the loo and then come back and hold our places. And finally, the gates opened and we rushed forward. And it was one of Stoke Sauce's first ever concerts, I think, and my daughter too. And we got right in the front, in the center front, and the show started, and it was such a nice venue, and it was such a nice event, and really got a very good glimpse of old Jack Johnson. And I've been fond of him, well, ever since, but prior to that as well. So let's go and see Buns. Exiled's turned up, so I can't see him. Oh, here he is. Hey, Exiled. And what does LCD say? He says, not too much time. There's a debate about how much time is the right time to spend on Mastodon. Some say more, some say less. Quentin's favorite Spice Girl is the sixth one. Pug Spice. X2180 says they don't get enough time on either. XL says happy Earth Day, comrades. And just started the pit. Hey. Sometimes when you look at com, you actually have to try and not understand the context, because it's all mixed up. So some of the posts come in later and some of them come in earlier. And in many cases, Screwtape might be talking to Exiled or LCD or Buns, and it might be from a previous conversation. And one of them might have gone and had a coffee and come back and go, oh yeah, and then they continue the conversation. So you kind of like have to just, hey, hi, Exiled. Yeah, you just have to kind of like go, this is where we are. So how do we sleep on the beach? In the early days, we used to just take a sleeping bag and find a safe spot. In Australia, it's quite warm, especially Queensland. And that was it. And then we graduated to swags. A swag is a sort of sleeping bag. It's sort of like a big sleeping bag with a roll-up mat or mattress in it, which is only about 2 inches thick. And it rolls up in a way that is sort of like a big sausage roll, the size of about 3 foot wide, and about, yeah, and they're normally green. And then when you roll them out, the mattress rolls out, and then it's got the zipper on the side, and it has these hoops, like a normal tent, but they're like semicircle. I might try and find. Yeah, anyway, that's what a swag is. And so we'd often sleep in swags, and sometimes the boys are too lazy to set them up properly, so they just sleep in them flat. And they're pretty hot, and you get pretty warm. So that's how we did it, and it's not always legal. But, you know, it's a lot of coastline to monitor. No one's ever stopped us. I've heard of a couple of people getting fined for sleeping in their vans. I've got an old van. Talking of which, I was at the... I'll play a song and then we will... I'll carry on the story, otherwise I'm just nattering on here. And we're talking about cars, so what better song to play than this one?
If you want to stay in tip-top shape like yours truly, you got to get regular checkups and put some new oil in you on a regular basis.
Hey, Lucy, behind the wheel, my wife of 14 years. She's very cute and cooks to boot. She can grill a tasty meal. Now some folks would think that's why I love her, and you wouldn't have to stretch that far. But the thing that holds her so dear to me is that Lucille can fix my car. Oh, Lucille, I still prefer you more than any movie star. Your money in the bank, the tiger in the tank, only when you fix my car. Well, Lucille, that's just how I feel, and I'm not a chaser. I'd be on the bench with no monkey wrench if you hadn't come my way. Skips a beat. That streak of grease running across her cheek flips my bucket seat. She knows more about Eldorados than mechanics twice her age. Lucille can predict when your brakes will quit. She don't need no gauge. Oh, Lucille, I still prefer you more than any. In the tank, baby, when you fix my car. Well, Lucille, that's just how I feel, and I'm not ashamed to say I'd be on the bench with no monkey wrench if you haven't come my way. When there's a piston that needs replacing, or a valve that's almost done, or a faulty engine casing, she can always make it run.
Let me tell you something. I'd be a shadow of a man with no oil pan. I'd be a chump, a broken water pump, like an old floor mat, just another flat. I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't where you're at.
Oh, Lucille, I still prefer you more than any movie star. Oh, your money in the bank, a tiger in the tank, only when you fix my car. Oh, you see, Lucy, that's how I feel, and I'm not ashamed. On the bench with no monkey wrench if you haven't come my way. You know you really make my day. Oh, honey, when you fix my car.
Hey, I hope you don't mind me playing that funny song for a bit. It's just a bit of a... Hey, well, what happened was, yesterday, I came home from work and I've had my exhaust making a bit of a noise for a while, and as I left school, it made a lot of noise, and I live quite close to the school, so I took a chance and drove home, and it really did me like a tractor, but much more than that. And I looked underneath and it had completely come undone. So I put it back and I said to my wife, oh, well, I'm going to go get it repaired. Do you want to come? And she was like, I don't know. And then she said, yeah, she'll come. And we got to the corner when it came off again. And she said, hey, we can't do this. We're going to get pulled over because it was very loud. So I came home again and just turned around and drove back in the driveway, climbed underneath and tied it up with wire so this time it wouldn't come undone. And I took a chance and went to this exhaust center. And what I liked about this, it just felt nice, the old shop, the exhaust shop, and They were these two guys, though, Luke and the owner, and Cullum, the guy that was working. And I told them it was wrong, and so Cullum jumped in, and I saw this very vague look on his face as he tried to figure out how to use a column shift, because my gears are on the column, the steering wheel column, and there it's a 5-speed, very old-fashioned. I think they call it, sometimes there's a saying that says 4 on the floor, 3 on the tree. Well, this has got 5 on the tree, which is the steering wheel column. And I had to give him a quick lesson on how to change gears, which he managed to get it onto the hoist, and up it went. And they fixed it for $60. They welded this new piece of 409 stainless steel exhaust in. And this time when they lowered it, Cullum said, "You drive it out. You can drive it out." And I took her out, and, well, obviously I'd paid, and my wife and I drove off, and I have a nice brand new car. So I thought that was a fitting song. And while I was in the store, I noticed there was an old radio, and there was an old steering wheel, and there was an old telephone with push buttons. And the owner, Luke, really liked old things. And there was another old radio. It reminded me of one of the Morse code sets that I had from the Second World War. It was Burmese teak and brass and bronze and Bakelite, and these beautiful screw-type buttons. And I had a twin set, and I also had field phones, because after the Second World War, I don't know where all the stuff was stored, but eventually it ended up on auctions, and I had a pair of field phones as well. So a friend and myself used to communicate over them as long as we could find wire long enough. And we did try and extend it a couple of kilometers once, but we could never get across the freeway. And we probably didn't get much further than a few hundred meters. But we had to extend about 1,200 meters in the end to get to his house. And we just didn't get it right, but what 10-year-old kid would? Then that's that story. And one of the things they had in there at the store was an 8-track, which prompted me to create that video of... So I think it was misleading, because it was misleading. I know it was misleading, because I said we'll listen to some Eagles 8-track, and I don't have an 8-track, and I don't have any Eagles of my own either. But I did have in my hands an original 8-track, and I was surprised to see that the 1976 edition of an 8-track presentation of the Eagles only had about 4 or 5 actual tracks on it. So I had a look at 8-track recordings last night and collections of 8-tracks, and I realized that one thing that did happen with 8-tracks, that if a song was published on 8-track, it was probably the best song that the artist had ever done. So there was only ever good recordings of 8-track, and I think probably because they were expensive. I don't know. I've never had an 8-track. I do remember people having 8-tracks. And what I don't remember, though, is them having huge collections of 8-track tapes. And I suppose that was because it was expensive. But these days, it's a lot easier for us. It's a lot easier for us to take it easy and to enjoy ourselves and to share things. So let's pop on to Com and talk about sharing. What have we got here? We've got LCD, who had to pop away from the keyboard because his meal called him. And that makes a lot of sense. We all have to eat. Something I noticed is that Quentin has dreadlocks, and the thing about dreadlocks is it smells if you don't wash your hair often enough, which takes me to this story. A friend of mine in the UK said to me that our hair is self-cleaning and we don't often have to wash it. So I decided to take him up at his word, and I returned to Australia from the UK and proceeded not to wash my hair. And I got to just short of 2 years. I actually think I did get over 2 years, but I wasn't quite sure exactly when I started doing it. And the evidence of it working was that people often said to me, "Hey, your hair's so healthy." So one day I decided to ask my hairdresser. I went in for a haircut. In our little town, it's $20 for a haircut. And Jules, J-U-L-Z, she might be related to you, Buns, cut my hair. And I said to her, "Hey, what do you think of my hair?" And she said, "Oh, it's just like so, this, like it's, you know," she says, "it's really healthy." And I said, "Is it clean?" And she said, "Yep, it's very clean." And then I told her that I hadn't washed it for over a year and a half. And she proceeded to give me a lecture on why why you should wash your hair, because it has nutrients and stuff in it. And I kind of like, I didn't buy her reasons for buying product, because here I was with perfectly good clean hair, having not washed it for a year and a half, and she couldn't have told anything differently about my hair. So, and then she started telling me all about the reasons why product is good for you. So, I don't know. But what I do know, and I want to open this up because I'd like to play this. I'd like to play this. So just bear with me while I find my way around here. Farrago. I don't want to find out more about Farrago. I just want it to work. Let's close that. And let's go to a sound set. Hey, why is this so hard? Okie dokie. Well, I'll do my little bits and pieces here while we listen to something. So let's at least keep part of my promise and...
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy.
And that, my friends, is my advice for that, my friends, is my advice for this week. Oops, my monitor's too loud. No, it's not loud at all now. Yeah, so if you're going to take anything away, just take it easy. I'm going to wrap up very quickly. Firstly, I'm going to shout out to Screwtape. Thank you for being here. Exiled. Nice to have you here, my man. Buns. Always a pleasure. Exiled again. Let's skip that one, that one, that one, that one. And X2180. Great to see the conversation. It's very light-hearted and good old Saturday midnight jesting, teasing one another. And Exiled was booging earlier. Yeah, look, friends, it's not quite worked out the way I wanted it to work out, but we're going to play out with Mark Hurst, and this is a podcast I listened to on Monday. So enjoy this, and if it finishes in time, I'll chat some more, but otherwise, wish you well, and yeah, it's an average show, but sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And have a good one. So I'm sure I'll be back.
Here's why I think that conversation last week was important. If we just separate out all the stuff, I don't like this CEO because he did X. I don't like this person because he did Y. If you separate all that out for one second and just think about the conclusion, just think just for a second, just bracket all that other stuff just for a moment and think about the conclusion that Taibbi is offering from his deep dive into these documents. What he's showing is exactly in line with what I have been trying to communicate on this show over the years, and that is that there are manipulations going on in social media that we, the citizens, are not privy to, but should be, but we are not privy to. In to be specific, within Twitter, there were relationships with various government agencies where the government agencies were manipulating the narrative of various stories without citizens' knowledge and certainly without our consent. So there were external agencies to Twitter giving Twitter direction on how to manipulate the presentation of various stories. I want you to amplify this one. I want you to de-amplify that one. I want you to cancel that one completely and hide it away. That is not what we do in a free and open society. That's not what is supposed to happen. That's what the bad guys do. The bad guys are I'm not going to name names. The bad guys are the ones who are in authoritarian governments who are squelching dissent and squelching stories that make the government look bad. That's not what we do here in the U.S., or at least that's our brand. That's what we claim. That's what a lot of people believe. Land of the free and so on. But what Taibbi, the outcome of what I got from Taibbi's conversation with Ken last week, the outcome is that he is showing, the files are showing that the manipulations were happening. And the reason it was focused on Twitter is because that's where the files were available. But at one point in the conversation with Ken, Taibbi says, it's happening at Google too. And it's happening at Facebook too. It's what Taibbi showed is happening at Twitter is just a case in point about how our big tech dominated media ecosystem is being manipulated without our knowledge or consent. And that, friends, is worth paying attention to. If you could just bracket for 1 minute that you don't like the guy, I can grant you that. I'm not going to say I can understand it. I don't have any feelings one way or another. I'm just saying if you have this feeling or that feeling, okay, fine. But bracket that and look at what the conclusion is that our media ecosystem is being manipulated behind the scenes in order to protect who knows what kind of agenda within the government. That's not what's supposed to happen in this country. It's bad enough when you have the daily machinations of these big tech companies that are, and even under Musk, I'm not even getting into what Musk has been doing recently, which I also find reprehensible. These oligarchs in Silicon Valley are continually doing things against the interests of citizens of this country and having all sorts of awful effects here and around the world and totally unaccountable. It's bad enough that we have the corporate oligarchs to deal with without adding in the U.S. government as well. And yet that's what's happening. So, again, if we can bracket out all of our other major feelings about this thing and just look at the outcome, look at the conclusions that are being surfaced, then we can say, yes, that is a worthwhile thing for us to know about. And then when we say that, then we can go back to hating on Elon Musk and some of you hating on Taibbi, which I'm not going to join in. But, you know, just I'm just trying to say I appreciate what Taibbi told us last week. And in the same vein, I appreciate what Meredith Broussard is telling us this week. There are difficult truths out there. And you know what, friends? Let me tell you something. Truth is not partisan. There is no one slice of the political spectrum that has a lock on the truth. And what I'm trying to do in this show is I'm trying to present you the truth wherever I can find it, the truth about what's happening in technology. I am trying to tell you the truth, and I am not a partisan, okay? So if you are hoping that this is going to be a partisan show that is always going to check the boxes for whatever party or whatever slice you are a partisan about, you're going to be disappointed because the truth or whatever slice